It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. 10 a.m., 2 p.m. Kyle Ledbetter on the glass for us.
Hello.
Beautiful morning. It could have been more beautiful if the Kings took care of business, but that is not the universe that we live in as the Kings lose to the Miami Heat 121 to 110. Chris Watkins, how's it going? We're going to try to fight through this,
but
it is what it is, isn't it? And we're going to try to fight through it. How you doing?
Doing okay. Not great. I mean, you know, we've talked about it before. This team has kind of used up all of their leeway, and they really don't have many more blown opportunities left in their season before things start to get very, very drastic. Of course, you know, I saw a lot of people last night saying it's okay. You know, it's against the Heat. It's still Eric Spoelstra. All that stuff, but I think two things can be true. I think that it is you can find a reason why Miami was able to kind of put together that performance, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that the Kings still shouldn't have gotten that result yesterday.
Yeah, that I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. Oh, there if there's one shorthanded team that it makes sense to lose. No.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
And the problem is, it's been happening. We have sound from Coach Mike Brown and how he doesn't think it seems to be a problem, but
we'll see.
It's been happening. If this was the first time they lost or second time they lost or third time they lost to a shorthanded team, then I would say, okay. And I was in the post game after I did the Spanish stats, of course, and
CC,
and I was in the post game and he combated what the question was by saying, well, we beat the Clippers without Paul George the night before. And it's almost as if it's not one guy. It has to be multiple. You have to literally be expected to win on a large level.
Yeah.
And honestly, those games, one of the big games that's sticking out to me was the T-Wolves game without Karl-Anthony Towns. But besides that, and East Coast, because they just can't be, maybe it's not the shorthanded thing. Pick your poison. Is it because they're shorthanded? Is it because they're from the East Coast and you can't beat teams from the East Coast? Which is it, Coach? Because we could pick a plethora of reasons that you can't get it done. Here's the issue. Lost to the Wolves without Karl-Anthony Towns. Lost to the Hornets without LaMelo. Lost to the 76ers without Embiid. And that was embarrassing,
that was
by
terrible.
The way.
That was on national TV.
Lost to the Pacers. And I think they were missing more than Embiid, if I'm not mistaken. Lost to the Pacers without Haliburton. Lost and that's when they could have had Pascal. They didn't have Pascal yet. Lost to the Pistons without Cade. Lost to the Heat without Butler and Hero and Rozier. And then you lost to the Rockets twice.
Yeah. That's not even throwing in all those Pelicans games, which, of course, those are just straight
or
up
the Blazers. Because these are shorthanded losses, not just bad losses.
Exactly.
We have multiple different versions of this, and we have from the 209, and we can look this up, Chris, already on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop from the text line. By the way, they did this last year too, Chris.
Not at this point last year. I mean, we talked about they won five games outside the break. They won like 11 of their first 13 games. I think maybe you're saying that they did this last year in the sense of they would lose to shorthanded teams last year. I mean, I think every team does it every year, but also the point is you're supposed to be better. And I know, you know, that for the most part, the personnel is the same, but you have to learn from some of your mistakes. And I think it's the fact that it seems like this team just doesn't get up properly for these games and you know, that they have a bit, I don't want to say a sense of entitlement, but they feel like, okay, this might be a night in which we saw them give 110% effort against the Clippers on Sunday, and they did not have anywhere near that level of effort yesterday. And I think that's the big problem, is that you know, that's very, very controllable. That's something that's really the only thing you can control is your effort
level.
That's
what Keegan literally said last
night. That's right. Yeah, he did. He said, you know, that's something that we can control. And I think that's the most inexcusable part of it is the fact that this team, for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's ego or what, but they just kind of feel like on some nights they don't have to give their 100% to win. And I thought they learned that last year, but I guess they're just going to continue to ram their heads into that wall.
This is what Coach Mike Brown said when he was asked about the inferior teams prior to the game. I have it right here. If we want to be elite, we'll always play at an elite level no matter who is in front of us.
Right, yeah.
Well, then I guess you're not elite then.
Right.
I guess you're not elite. It's that simple. You literally said it before the game, and then they come out and do this. Now, when you look at the box score, there, besides the turnover, De'Aaron, 7 turnovers, I think Kyle confirmed for us. That's career high.
Season high.
Well, he's had more before.
Most in a game since 2022.
There you go. So 7 turnovers for De'Aaron. But it wasn't just De'Aaron. Everybody, we got Blame Pie coming up soon. And that's just what it is. And I came up with this for you, Chris. I hope it hits for you the way I would like for it to. But hello, darkness, my old friend. The Kings are back in the play-in. Because they're back.
I don't like that at
all.
I'm
sorry. They're back. And we had so much fun yesterday.
Yeah, it was great.
I fixed my mouth to say the Kings could get a 4 seed.
Yeah.
You said that?
I did.
Why?
With a straight face.
Because, I mean, they still could.
You said the Kings would get a 4 seed in the West knowing Jaime Jaquez was coming to town.
I didn't say they would. I said that they could. And they still can.
They still can.
But we're running out of time here, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, it would help a lot if they, you know, I know no one wants to hear right now. It helps a lot if they win Wednesday against Denver and definitely Friday against Minnesota as well. But I think the problem is, this is the problem when I said the other day on Friday, or yesterday actually, it feels like an eternity ago, that I was starting to get hope, is you start to believe this team and you start to think, hey, maybe this is just who they are. And the problem is we can have no faith that this team is, even if they do play well against Denver, we now have no faith that they're going to play well on Friday against Minnesota.
No.
And so that's the problem with where we're at is, these things could happen. They could go on a run and get a 4 seed, but realistically, I mean, there's no way that especially not us, we can't come on these airwaves right now and say, yes, this is going to happen. The Kings still have faith, everybody, because with what we've all seen all year long, there's no logical reason to say, besides just blind faith, these guys are going to turn it around. These guys are on their way to a huge win streak right now. You can't confidently say it. You can have hope that it happens, but that's really all you can have right now.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I didn't know if it was going all the way. The Kings are who we thought they were.
The Kings are back in the play-in.
They are. And the Kings are who we thought they were. They are. We thought maybe, just maybe, you could show up when we asked that of you, or you asked that of yourself, and they couldn't. And we have here, Chris, this is where we're at right now. This is from Mike Soul, 121, on the Sack Chat. Nice. Kings being last in the league in free throws. Kyle Draper, our friend, says it's due to lack of concentration. Why can't players be fined after the second miss? Affecting their pockets might bring concentration back. Well, that is not going to happen, but
it might work. But.
Well, we'll see. Sean Cunningham, do they practice today, the Kings?
They probably do.
Okay.
They probably do and then fly out immediately after.
Because we'll have Sean Cunningham on at 1:30. We're trying to see if there's an update on the free throw leaderboard or what that ended up meaning. The Kings, I think they made their first 5 free throws in a row, if I'm not mistaken, and then the wheels just fell off, and they ended up going 7-for-12. 58.3, don't forget the point three, 58.3% from free throw.
Yeah, and really, I mean, the one that hurt the most to me was Malik missing those back-to-back free throws in the fourth quarter. That was brutal because, again, That's the guy I picked, man. That's the laser beam pointed.
That's right.
At Earth.
I forgot about that.
That's the guy that I thought would, would you know, turn this thing around. If anybody's going to be the one making free throws, I thought it'd be Malik. But I think we've seen this year one too many times. He's missed two free throws, and for it to be in the fourth quarter, not that it's just a Malik problem, but he's supposed to be the one that's rising above it all. And I just think it's clearly a team-wide problem, but I don't know who's going to be the one to solve it or who's going to be the one that you can say, well, you know, at least we can hope that he's the one who gets the line. Keegan
got
to the line yesterday. Maybe it's Keegan. But, yeah, I mean, HB's missed a couple in his days as well. There's really just nobody who's consistently reliable at the line, which is – that makes sense for the worst free throw shooting team in the NBA.
So. Yeah, Harrison 2-for-2 from the line, Murray 2-for-2, Kevin Herter 2-for-2. The problem, not that they shot a ton of free throws, De'Aaron didn't even get to the line.
Sure didn't.
Malik Monk was 0-for-2, and Sabonis was 1-for-4. When we get back, we have sound from Coach Mike Brown on how he does not think this is a problem, the Kings losing to inferior teams. We'll talk about it. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Hello, darkness, my old friend. The Kings are back in the play-in.
Did you miss any part of our live local shows? Don't worry, you never have to miss them again. Check out SacktownSports.com and search our podcast page and play our shows when you want. The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross, Styles and Watkins, and The Drive Guys. Plus, other podcasts like Return of the Empire, Return of the Roar, The Stingers Up Podcast, and Golf to Go with Frank LaRosa.
They're all available right now on SacktownSports.com.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
The Kings don't get it done when we needed them the most. They still have time. What is it now? 25 games left, Chris?
25, yep.
25. The lucky number is still 17 then. Because they have...
For 50.
They have 33 wins.
There's going to be so many teams fighting for 50. It's insane. So 17.
Okay, so lucky number is still... Magic number is still 17. And they have...
25
games. Yeah. That just got a lot tighter.
It did.
That just 17 got a lot tighter.
That's what I was saying, man.
16 out of 25 is a lot different than 17 out of 25. That's a lot of hits.
Yep.
All hits,
and
no
it's
misses.
A lot of a lot of tough work, man. Yeah, because you've wasted all of the slack that you possibly could have had. They've got no room for error. They've got a couple tough opponents left, and you've not only do you have to start beating teams that you just have to beat, but you're gonna have to surprise some teams. Like again, we talked about it, but you know, games against the Knicks, you know, teams of that quality, games against one more against the Celtics, one more against the Sixers, one more against the Bucks. Can't go 0-3 in those games. Later in the season, they have a back-to-back, thankfully, at home against Dallas. I mean, the more games you trick off here before that happens, the more it's imperative that you win both of those games.
That's the problem. And
to your point real quick.
Yeah.
To win 17 of their last 25, mm-hmm. that would be a 680 win percentage. Do you know how many teams in the NBA this year have a 680 or better win percentage?
The Celtics.
Yeah.
Celtics do.
Yeah. I don't
and what,
think.
The T-Wolves?
T-Wolves. Thunder. And that's it.
Wow.
Okay.
Three teams. Even the Nuggets this year are 672.
Right. And now, I'll tell you this much. If they lose these next two games, you can kiss 50 goodbye. I won't even do the countdown anymore. I won't.
Yeah,
I will
mean,
not.
At that point, you're going to have to play.
You have to
split. You're going to have to play like the best NBA basketball someone's played all year.
Right.
Clipper status almost.
Before last night, you could say, hey, the Kings just need to play really well. It was realistic. After last night, and depending on what happens these next two games, now you're hoping for a heater.
Yep.
A heater is less realistic than playing – well Absolutely. For a stretch of games. Now we're getting towards heater territory, and that's just less realistic.
Yeah. No, and we talk about peaking at the right time. We're now getting dangerously close to you're going to have to put your best effort together for about a month.
Yeah.
Like, it's really different to be able to kind of slowly ramp up to the playoffs, and, you know, we have to get, you know, to this level early, play at that level, and then come playoff time, reach another level. You're just probably going to run out of fatigue. People are going to start getting hurt left and right. They're in a dangerous situation. I mean, their only hope at this point is that another team kind of struggles along with them. I guess this is the positive of having play-in now, is that, you know, the Kings do have, like, there's not concern that they're going to fall completely out of this thing in entirety, but they're just putting themselves in a really tough situation. And, you know, the closer we get to the end of the season, the more we're going to have to ask the question of, okay, like, if this season is just kind of destined to end in a first round exit, then, you know, we're going to have to start evaluating things and reevaluating things and figuring out, you know, was this season a success? Was it a failure? All those conversations, those will come in due time. But the point is, the Kings are putting themselves really dangerously in a spot where that's going to become the conversation that's around the corner here.
916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. Let's hear from Coach. Let's hear from Mike Brown and what he had to say as far as the narrative that this team struggles against shorthanded teams.
Paul George didn't play last night, you know, and we've played against other teams where their top one or two guys didn't play, and we've won games. The reality of it is, you know, one of the things I obviously – got to go back and take a look. I know in game one, there were six or seven 50-50 balls, and we didn't come up with one. And, you know, I'm not sure if it was that bad tonight. I thought we got on the ground for a couple, but there were some opportunities for us to box out. We didn't hit somebody. You know, there were some opportunities early on to where I felt we could have contested better. We didn't quite get the shooters. And so to me, more than anything else, that's where the trend is, you know. And I've been saying it the last few days. I thought last night we did a great job defending the three. Tonight we kind of let our guard down a little bit and let, you know, guys that weren't hot initially get going. And it hurt us. But I don't feel like it's a trend that every time we play a team that in their number one or number two or number three guys out that we lose.
It's almost as if you could say one guy missing, sure. You have to miss multiple. It has to be that this game should – it has to either be multiple or one star guy on a bad team.
Yeah.
That's what it's been.
It feels like it's got to be as close to a not even, like, you shouldn't even have to think about, like, a no-brainer. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, literally,
yes.
It should be the closer it gets to a no-brainer, the more likely it seems to be that the Kings, at the very least, are going to struggle and make it way more difficult. Because even, you know, that first Portland game where I think Skylar Mays had his best night of his life.
Right. That's right.
The Kings, I think they ended up winning that game.
Yes.
But they still struggled immensely, and it went down to the fourth quarter. And even last night could have been a situation where you could file it under, okay, yeah, they didn't, you know, if they would have completed that comeback, yeah, they completed the comeback, but they still made it immensely harder than it needed to be. That Detroit game where Cade missed and they still won, that first quarter was dreadful, made it way more harder than it needs to be. So, you know, I think some, you know, you have to give credit a little bit to other teams because it is proof that, hey, these are NBA guys. But at the same time, you know, fool me once, fool me twice, fool me seven times this season. Like, I can't continue to just say, I can't, good on Mike Brown. I guess he kind of, I don't think he had to say it, but, you know, I think he's thinking he's protecting his team there. To me, there's definitely something going on with your team's mindset against these teams. Because, again, we literally went down the list of the occasions in which you've lost games to opponents that you shouldn't lose. I just think that it's definitely a thing. And I would love to know from the inside what they think it is.
Yeah.
Because I know they feel it.
Well, I purposely watched the guys as the game ended, mm-hmm. right? And they're dapping each other up, and you can tell that there's still belief in there.
Right.
They might be as confused as we are.
That's true.
I don't know. I mean, last night specifically, not to take anything off of the Kings, but last night specifically, there were some matchup issues. I don't necessarily know. It's one of the more confusing games out of this bunch because on one hand, you could say the effort wasn't terrible, but on the other hand, in the fourth quarter, you could tell they're way more active. When you mm-hmm. asked Coach about that, he said, well, it's because we went to a zone. It was two things. They went to a zone and they became more active. Yeah.
So they started hitting shots.
That's what De'Aaron said. Well, yeah. Keegan makes three out of three, and now all of a sudden it looks like we're playing better when shots were just falling.
Keegan and Kevin literally hit 9 points in a minute.
So I think there's some give and take with the whole thing. I think what you're seeing from King's Twitter is that on the egregious meter,
sure.
based on how you watched the game,
right.
it was nowhere near as egregious
We've
as some
worse.
Of these other games.
Right.
The problem is it doesn't really matter.
Right.
When we get back, we will discuss. Dwayne Baker on the Sack Chat says, we did win three out of the last four games, right? Let's take a breath. Let's discuss whether we're going to take a breath or not. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's Stiles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
We did win three out of the last four, right? Let's take a breath. That is from Dwayne Baker. And here is the retort, if you will, because you're not wrong. The problem is, prior to that, okay, they had lost one, two. They had lost to the Cavs, and they lost to the Pistons. Then they beat the Nuggets because they own the Nuggets. They had lost three. They had lost four out of five. They lost four out of five. So, to me, it's just too late in the season to do those. The little runs don't matter to
yeah.
me. They don't matter to me.
Much bigger sample
Yeah, they
size.
Won three out of their last four. It doesn't matter because there's only right. 25 games left.
Yeah.
So they could win seven of their last eight, yeah. and if they don't win at the right time or if it's too far gone, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Are we going to say, well, they're the 11th seed now because they lost four, they lost five straight, but they won seven of their last eight?
Yeah.
To me, those runs and things like that, that's cool for pre All-Star break, right? What are the trends we're seeing? Stacking wins. Now it's we literally have a segment called pocket watching because
yep.
it's not just about what the Kings are doing.
Yep.
Okay. The Kings don't play tonight and there are teams that can catch them even more.
Yep.
They could continue to drop throughout this
yeah.
week by not even doing anything. And now you're looking forward at a Nuggets team you yep. got to face in Denver.
Yep.
And what do we talk about? Unless you're the Pelicans playing the Kings, the chances of the Kings going 4-0 against the Nuggets
yep. on the road.
It's
just tough. It's just a tough ask. It's a yeah. big ask.
And then you have the T-Wolves.
Number one seed right now.
Are trying to solidify themselves. So it's not that we don't think that winning three out of the last four isn't bad. The problem
great.
Is we're just too far gone. It just
yeah.
doesn't matter.
No, right, exactly. And I think you said it earlier, but it's about what the teams around them are doing too. And, you know, 3-4 is great, but the other teams are doing that as well. And it's when you look at the fact that, like you said, the Kings have Denver and Minnesota. With the loss last night, it's you're quickly in danger by the end of the week of losing three in a row and being right there next to the Lakers and the Warriors for the 9 and 10. And that's just the reality of the situation. That's why we're so concerned. And again, looking at the opponents around the Kings, everybody else is playing incredible basketball. Looking at their last 10 games, the Suns are 6-4. Pelicans are 7-3. Mavericks are 7-3. Lakers are 7-3. Warriors are 8-2. Kings are 5-5. That's a combined 35-15 record for just the teams surrounding the Kings. So everybody is playing at the very least winning three of their last four.
Right.
The problem
That's a good
is
point.
The Kings are in danger here again of losing three in a row. So a bit of this this fear or whatever, you know, us talking about the game last night and, you know, almost having a nervous or maybe you could even say negative outlook on where things are going at this moment in time is because the way things are trending, this thing could get scary very, very quickly. So I don't think we're completely saying, oh, there's no hope, the season's over, any of that. It's just, man, you guys are really putting yourselves here in danger to, you know, to be at a place where you frankly shouldn't be. The Kings should be fighting at the top of this second tier right now, but frankly, they're more in danger. The closer reality is them being more in that 9-10 race than where they are right now.
From the 916, why do you guys keep drinking Kings Kool-Aid? They actually are not insane. As good as this last insane. Year. They have lost to the worst team in the league, Detroit. Last night, they lost to the Miami bench. The GM has done nothing to improve since the Sabonis trade. He stood pat at another deadline, and they are glaring holes in the roster. They are clearly weak after 9 spots. And lack of physical board strength after Sabonis is real. I think they won't make it out of the play-in round this year. That is Sam in Elk Grove. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. I don't think we're drinking King's Kool-Aid at all.
Maybe a little bit. If you listened to the show yesterday, we weren't drinking it, but we really wanted to. We were making it.
I was saying I'm starting to build up hope.
Yes.
I'm not just blindly out here saying Kings are on their way. And, you know, and we talked about the possibility of the Kings inching towards that 4 seed if they could have won last night.
Right. It was all based upon what they did last night.
Yes. You could argue this is the problem or the reality of the situation is right here at this stretch of times. Things change overnight. Situations change overnight. You can look great one day and then look completely terrible the next, and your situation could be completely different. You go from being solidified at the 5 seed to now in the 7 seed, and again, at risk of losing 2 more games in a row, that could put you in that. Like, these things are so fluid at this time of year.
Right.
Doing a daily show, we're going to have to talk about where the Kings are on that day the situation. That's just how the game is played. Sorry.
And it's going to change each and every day, especially when you have a bunched up group.
Yes. This is not normal.
Right. Like we currently have. The bottom line is this. That Kings team that beat the Clippers 2 days ago, that team can go to the second round.
Yes.
There are 25 games left. How many more times do we believe that Kings team will show up?
Yep.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
If that Kings team shows up 20 more times, they're going to the second round.
Right.
If that team shows up less than 10 more times, then Sam and Elk Grove is right. Or it could be worse. Right. Or it could be worse. Yeah. That is the confusing thing about the Kings team. But here is the situation. For any team that is 4 seed or worse in both conferences, right, there are 2 options, Chris. The first option is that you are overperforming, okay? I don't know where the Magic are, but at one point they were in that mix, overperforming. Sure. Certain teams are overperforming. You are either overperforming or you have missed opportunities and, dare I say, underperforming. And that is where the Kings are. There are 2 options if you are in that 4 spot. Oh, we're early and we didn't expect to be here, or we should be higher. And all the teams that are in that spot, it's not just the Kings. This is who these teams are, and this is why they haven't been able to get to that higher spot. The only difference between the Timberwolves, the Thunder, and the Nuggets, and the Clippers is that they win the games they're supposed to win.
Right.
And they win highlighted games as well. Now, these other teams, the Suns, you talk to a Suns guy right now, Suns fan, they'd say, we miss opportunities.
Yep.
Pelicans, we miss opportunities. We're too busy beefing with Stephen A. on our Twitter. Kings, we know they miss opportunities. Cuts. Mavericks, they miss opportunities. Lakers, they miss opportunities. Warriors, they miss opportunities. It's all the same.
Yep.
Who is going to stop it towards the end of the race?
Yep.
All of these teams, and that's why I think a lot of these teams feel excited about if they could get in, because besides the Nuggets and to a lesser degree the Clippers, you're licking your chops at the Thunder, no disrespect, and the T-Wolves just because they don't have the same experience. So that's why it's so important. But all of those teams, you could say the same thing. They have all missed opportunities, which is why they're battling it out every single night.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you totally. I think the thing that concerns me about the Kings, too, to add on top of that is, you know, we see Phoenix all the time, Pelicans especially. CJ was out the other day. A lot of these teams aren't 100% healthy. The Kings don't have the excuse of not being healthy
either.
That's huge. And so, like, the Suns are probably going to get better when Bradley Beal comes back. They have a light at the end of the tunnel, or at least, you know, a hope for a light at the end of the tunnel, seeing, okay, when Brad comes back, maybe things will start to click. That's when we'll stop, like you said, that's when we'll stop missing those opportunities, and we'll probably start to capitalize on more. The Kings are in a spot where they don't have that excuse. They've been very, very healthy all year. Sabonis was supposed to miss that game, didn't end up missing it. HB's played in every single game. De'Aaron hasn't really missed time since the start of the year. They have all of their options, and the fact that they are so inconsistent while still having all of their guys, to me, is incredibly concerning, because even if they, I mean, if they don't miss guys the rest of the year, if they continue to be incredibly healthy, we're probably still going to see this up and down nature. But if, like every other team deals with, if some injuries start to happen, if there's a Keegan Murray miss game here or there, a Kevin Herter, a God forbid De'Aaron or Domas have to miss a game, this team's probably going to struggle even more. So I just, it's really hard to try and continue to fight for this team when they're going to continue to play so inconsistently.
And that's why last night was one of the more confusing games, because if I told you that all of the Kings starters would be in double figures.
Sure.
Keegan Murray would have 28. Sabonis would have a triple-double. And on the other side, with Butler, Hero, and Rozier out, Duncan Robinson was 0-for-6 from three and had 4 points.
Right.
And I'd say, you can go red or black. Which one hits? Did the Kings win or lose? Yeah. We'd all say that the Kings won that
Kings
game.
Won 100%.
We all said that's why this game, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Mike, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Mike? Looks like you got a play-in question. What you got for us?
Yeah, I got a few questions. You know, ESPN mentioned the other day that as far as a play-in, you could have a lot of star power, like LeBron and the Lakers, Luka and Kyrie, Stephen Curry and the Warriors. Well, I'm just concerned as a Kings fan, because we're losing these, like, games we should win, and we keep saying this. Like, we lost to, like, Charlotte. That was, like, the first one. And then the Blazers. And then last night, I just felt like, wait, we're getting punked in the post by Kevin Love and Bam, of course.
Yeah.
And then it's always some guy you never really know who's going to go off, like DeLon Wright. I'm like, come on now. Somebody has to play. Like, this is a home game for the Kings. And he didn't even have their top guy. I'm just kind of concerned. Are they going to fall all the way to the ninth seed? I'll just be a little nervous. And, like, how does the play-in really work? Is it, like, you're one and done after that? That's my question.
No, thanks for the call, Mike. So, basically, it's from 7 to 10. So, for example, if the Kings were in the 9 seed, they would host the 10 seed. But if they lost, they'd be done. If they won, they would then go face the loser of the 7-8 seed. That's what would happen. So, 7-8, you're going to get 2 games if you lose, right? If you are 9 or 10 and you lose, you're done. If you win, you have to win 2 games if you're 9 or 10. You just have to win 1 game if you're 7 or 8. So that's how that works. And we see on the text line right here, if the Kings run into the Lakers or Warriors in the play-in, they will not make it out.
Yep.
No way the NBA will want to lose those legacy franchises out of the playoffs. Yeah, we're not going to go completely tinfoil hat, even though I'd love to, because that's what I spend my time watching. You know, what is it? The Alien Show on Discovery Channel.
You watch Ancient Aliens?
I'll fire it up from time to time. I got the book, too.
I think crazy. That's on the History Channel.
That's right. That's right. I got the book,
insane.
Too. But we can't go full tinfoil hat.
I have questions for you after this.
I'm sure you do. We'll talk during the break. But 209, you are right. Would not like that.
No.
LeBron already said, we're foul merchants
because
we're bricks and we cannot shoot. We cannot shoot. When we get back, Will, we see you. We will get to you. I can't wait to hear what you got to say. And we will also continue with your calls and your texts and your sack chat. Don't forget the Jacksons and Sister Sledge at Thunder Valley. We will give away those tickets at 1 p.m. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. They lost to the T-Wolves without Karl-Anthony Towns. They lost to the Hornets without LaMelo. They lost to the Sixers without Embiid. They lost to the Pacers without Halliburton. Well, Halliburton wasn't playing, but he was in the building.
He was there. He was a factor.
And he was making sure.
He was on the floor. He was definitely on the floor.
He should have got a tech.
If Mason Jones gets a tech, Tyrese 1,000%.
That's really true.
Got a tech.
They lose to the Pistons without Cade. That's still insane to me. Lose to the Heat, obviously, last night without their guys. And we're going to be having to root for Halliburton again tomorrow night. They have either the Mavericks or somebody. They got somebody coming up that is right in that 7-6 to 10 range. So you gotta root for him now. It's too late now.
You have to.
You do. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Will, who's been waiting. Kenny, we see you as well. We'll get to you. But let's get out to Will, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Will? What you got for us?
Styles and Drapes, man. I'm going to rehab, dog. I can't deal with this. The games, see, this is the problem, and I always had this problem with KD, with Drapes. It's the games they should win is the ones that, you know, when they lose, and people try to analyze it, man. But here's my take.
But hold on, Will, because it's Styles and Watkins. Drape is later.
I know. I'm just saying. You know, I talk to him, you know, later when he's with Whitey and
I
everything.
I see what you're saying.
Here's the deal, man. Look, we're not athletic, man. I mean, look, I like Lyles, I like Herder, okay? But it's hilarious, and it's kind of – I kind of feel sorry for those guys when guys set them up to go one-on-one on them because they just can't guard them. I mean, poor Herder. I mean, Herder played 38 minutes last night, and Vasquez and Highsmith, them guys looked like all-stars. Yeah. I had to look up Highsmith, where the hell this guy from? Who is he? And I looked up, man, he went to Wheeling College. You know, you ever heard of Wheeling College?
I have not.
I'll have to ask Drapes.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is I have to lay a lot of it on Coach. Because Coach, just like Monk played 20 minutes last night. Mm-hmm. Herder played 38 minutes. Okay. If Herder ain't scoring big time, he can't guard offensive twos and threes. He just can't. He's slow of foot. And they just fake him one way and they're gone. They're gone. And same with Lyles. Lyles is not a – guys like Adebayo and those guys like that, Martin, those guys are athletes, man. Those guys can ball. They're over the rim. I mean, we don't have enough of those guys. And then even HB, you know, I'd be hard on HB. HB didn't hardly play. I think he played the fourth quarter.
Yeah, basically, Malik Monk, you could argue, I mean, I guess didn't get benched, but kind of did, and Harrison Barnes kind of did as well. Thank you, Will, as always. The thing about Herder is this is just who they have, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the blitzing, right? And Chris and I, it got a little hot before the show when we were discussing the blitzing and whether or not this is a Kings thing or a league thing. So that's coming up here in about 30 minutes. But let's get out to Kenny, who wants to be a part of the conversation as well. What's up, Kenny? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
Hey, I'm thinking I'm blaming Coach, too. That statement he made that I don't need a shot blocker, there's no guarantee we're going to get the ball back. They come down the line and we can't guard them outside. We need a rim protector. Mm-hmm. Coach don't want to go big. He play too small.
Yeah. No, thanks.
Give us a rim protector.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Kenny. And you could argue that they have a rim protector. And, I mean, is JaVale McGee still on the roster? Is Alex Len still on the roster? Alex Len, he always gets at least one block when he's in the game. They opted to go small yesterday or last night with Trey Lyles. And Trey has been struggling. He made his first three and didn't really do much after that. He had a really nice fadeaway, by the way, on the baseline. But, yeah, and it's a game like this that we can go back to that Legler sound, okay, when it comes to Domas being somewhat limited, okay? I was speaking to somebody last night who had some thoughts on the Legler sound and thought he wasn't too far off, right? So we can revisit that. We can revisit the blitzing as well. And that is why nobody is sitting here arguing that this is a championship team. The Clippers game, which was the most complete basketball game, according to Coach Mike Brown, I still think that probably caps you out at the second round.
Yeah, possibly.
And, that,
yeah.
and that's
yeah,
just yeah. and that's just who that's just yeah. who they are. And we can complain about how they play night in, night out, but this team is a couple pieces away. What we're trying to figure out is which pieces. Mm-hmm. Which pieces need to be moved in and out, and could they possibly get hot and play? Just because that Clippers game was the best game they played, could they play a better game? Right. It's possible.
Yeah.
But how many times will we see that
right.
throughout the course of the rest of this season and going into the playoff or play in?
Yeah.
I'm not betting on it.
No, I'm definitely not either. I think the thing that I feel like I'm coming to the realization with this team is, you know, come playoff time, they're probably just going to be a team that's going to rely on matchup. Like, it's going to be, hey, you know, if they play OKC in the first round, well, the Kings might actually have a shot at that because they just match up well with them. Mm-hmm. What I think we're trying to see or get the breakthrough on is, can they maybe win a matchup just off of not, or can they win a series not based off a matchup, just based off of them putting together great performances, just balling, exactly. And I just don't see that. I have not seen that from this team this year for a consistent enough stretch to believe that it's part of their DNA. I think for the most part, yeah, we've just seen, whether it be on the positive side of, yeah, they've beaten teams like Denver three times. They've handled OKC a couple times. But there's also the opposite of, they just absolutely get killed by the Pelicans, have no answer whatsoever for it, get killed by the Rockets in those two games. Until the game where they miss Paul George, they've gotten killed by the Clippers and haven't looked like they have any answer for them. So I think that's the thing, and that's why that game was so positive, because that Clippers game was a sign that, okay, maybe they can get a bad matchup but still be competitive. And, you know, a game like last night just kind of shows that, you know, maybe again, this team is truly just not capable of playing at that level for more than, you know, a night, maybe two. And, you know, of course, this is the second night of a back-to-back. We do have to factor that in. But I don't think, you know, they've won their last four second nights of back-to-back. So I don't really think you can use that as an excuse last night.
No, and I really don't want to hear about this Heat culture. I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't. From the 8-3-1 last night showed why Monk having at minimum a decent game is so important to this sure. team. It sure is. It sure is. And he did not have,
or just anybody being the third option.
Right.
Like, really, they didn't but they have had the third that, option though. Last night.
They had five guys in double figures.
Yeah, but like, who was consistent through there? Like, De'Aaron really, I mean, De'Aaron had a great game. I don't think he was great until really the second half. Herter contributed in that fourth quarter. He ended up with 14. He was 5 of 15, 2 of 9. Keegan was great. Keegan and Fox were there too. Mm-hmm. If, you know, yesterday, I'd like to, on every postgame show, have three stars of the night. I struggled yesterday because yesterday did not feel like Sabonis earned that third best player of the game. Even though he had the triple-double, even though he was 6 of 8 from the field, it didn't really feel like he was a good option for them to go to last night.
Real quick, I do feel that Chris Duarte has done some good things.
I do too.
But my goodness, man, can you read the room? Keegan Murray, I don't know what his obsession is with these quick threes. What was it? Keegan Murray had made two threes in sure. a row, or Keegan yeah. made a couple and then somebody else made one. Chris, early in the shot got just pulling.
Yeah. yeah.
Why are you pulling?
His shot IQ isn't great all the time.
Isn't yeah. great?
It's not great.
It's atrocious.
Yeah, it can be.
Well,
it can
wow.
be
and he's been playing well.
Yeah.
Outside. Brother, we got guys yeah. to do that.
He stopped fouling.
Now he's too busy shooting. He's too busy shooting. When we get back, we will continue the conversation. And a name has come up, and it's been a while. But, you know, you talk about the buyout names and the trade names and how they continue to circulate. A throwback name has appeared on the text line. Gosh. And this is when you know that the Kings done messed up. We'll say the name when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.